Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is a Seven West Media podcast.
This cannot go on. I cannot physically function, let alone go to work. I haven't slept properly in days, weeks, feels like months, maybe even years. Today we're talking all about sleep. Precious, precious sleep. And how we miss it so very much. I'm Alex Cullen, and welcome to Being Dad. Sleep, the final frontier. At least that's what it feels like. At about 4 a.m., after 2 or 3 hours sleep, and you are seeing stars as you stagger to the bathroom and get ready for work. Sleep deprivation truly is, according to the Geneva Convention, torture. Yeah, they get information out of people by depriving them of sleep, and it really feels like torture, absolutely. But perhaps the most common question that I have seen on the dad groups on Facebook is, how do I get my child to sleep through the night? It is such a common question. And a lot of responses are from smug parents who are parents of older children who are out the other side, they've been there, they've done that, and their advice ranges from putting lavender oil on their bedding to just letting them cry it out, which none of us really want to do. Now, your mum will have a solution, as will your mate's wife, and, you know, so will pretty much every random person that you happen to mention it to. The thing is, you're not the first person not to get a good night's sleep because of a baby. That's just what happens. That's life. Unfortunately, it comes with the territory. Yeah, it's just the way it is. But there are ways. There are ways that we can get our kids to sleep. I know you're tired. You're dead bloody tired. And you can't see a solution. You and your partner are snapping at each other. You're in bad moods. You're grumpy. And you just can't imagine a time when this will all be over. And this is where Bonnie and I are right now. Don't get me wrong. Our girls, Audrey and Evie, are absolutely wonderful, beautiful, incredible. But sometimes they are the opposite of that. Sometimes they can be screaming and you just don't know what to do with them. And that can be between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. Bonnie and I are just beside ourselves with tiredness a lot of the time. And things have been pretty stressful for us over the last 6 months or 7 months or 8 months since they were born. And now that I'm between jobs, let's call it that, it's now the perfect time for me to spend some time with the girls and discover, I guess, professional ways, get help from professionals on how best to get our kids to sleep through the night. More than 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours at a stretch. We did a lot of research and we discovered a place called Tresillian. Tresillian is, it's been around for years. It's been around since the 1920s and it's all about helping mothers and babies and especially sleep. It really helps with sleep cycles. It gives you tools. It gives you ways, tried and true ways of getting your kids to sleep. And that's where we are at the moment. They're free. Yes, that's right. Medicare pays for it. And we're finding it's pretty good. Now, Fran Chivas is the senior educator at Tresillian and also the author of the Tresillian Sleep Book, which we're reading at the moment, which is just really, really good. She took some time to talk to me whilst we were beginning our four-day residency at the Tresillian Sleep Centre in Willoughby, Sydney.
1, 2, 1, 2. Righto, so we're here at Tresillian. It's been a rough morning. Getting everything ready, getting the girls ready. They slept really well last night, which was weird. Not weird, it was great. So you think to yourself, well, should we be doing this? But we've got to get them out of these suits. So we've got the girls in these kind of straight jacket suits to keep them all snug. And we've got to get them out of that. We've got to get them out of that habit of us rocking them. We've been rocking them to sleep every night. They're now 8 months old, so we're going to break the habit. It's going to be hard. They're in the back with me right now, sleeping before we go in. It's 5 minutes to nine. Good to go?
Well, she's still asleep.
All still asleep. So what, should we just drive around or?
The luggage out.
Yeah.
To put it in the lounge room, so I'll do that now.
Okay. Do you need a hand? What's that?
I'll just try to get as much as I can
on the fan. Okay. All right, go time. Wish us luck. Friend, thank you for doing this.
No problem.
We really, really appreciate it. We are here at Tresillian in Willoughby, New South Wales. I brought my girls in here this morning and I was a bit nervous, I must say. But it's been going good so far. We got here at 9 o'clock. It's now about 10 to 2.
Yep.
what can I expect this week?
Well, you'll expect a busy week.
Yeah.
You and your wife or your partner?
My wife. Yeah.
Your wife and you've got a boy and a girl.
Two girls.
Yeah. So your little family's going to have a busy week. You'll all work together with the nurses to figure out a plan on what you're going to work on with your babies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a team effort for all of you to figure out what you want to do and how you want your babies to sleep, I guess, is what you've come here to do.
That's right.
So, but it's going to be a team effort between the four of you. Because when you come in here, parents always want us to fix it, but we can't fix what babies do because it's really something that's occurred between the four of you. So what we help you figure out is what's happened between the four of you and how the four of you can begin to kind of reconstruct what's gone on.
Okay.
So that's what you're going to do with the nurses this week. You're going to figure out what's happened and then how you're going to put together some ideas, and that will become the goals of your stay this week. And so I'm guessing that you've already come up with some goals.
We have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're going to start to work on them. And each day you'll look at the goals that you've set up and you'll see how they're going, if they're kind of really what you wanted to do, and then you'll kind of change them and adjust them and figure out if it's working or not working. And that's how your week will kind of pan out.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is normal? What is a normal baby's sleep pattern, I suppose?
Well, it depends on the age of your baby.
Yeah, sure.
Because sleep is one of the most important developmental tasks of infancy, and sleep develops over the first 12 months. So it's just like any developmental task that a baby has. It's a bit like walking or talking.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't expect a three-month-old baby to just start talking, and you don't expect a three-month-old baby to just get up and start walking around the room. It's the same. Sleep is exactly the same thing. So your baby goes through milestones, for want of a better term, of sleeping. So things have to happen before the next thing happens. So as I said, just like walking, your baby will, you know, start to lift their head up as their neck muscles get stronger, and then they'll start to roll over, and then they'll start to crawl, and ultimately by the end of the first 12 months, they'll start to pull themselves up and walk.
Okay, and so what are some of the myths? What are some of the myths surrounding how a child should be sleeping?
One of the myths is that babies can sleep 12 hours straight at night and not wake up.
I have heard that, and that's absolute crap.
It is. All babies, no matter what their age, will wake at least three times a night, every night.
At least three times?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Any others?
The myths of what babies do. Well, what are some of the myths you've heard?
They'll if we give them solids, we'll feed them solids, they'll sleep from 7 till 7.
It's nothing to do with food.
Really?
Yeah, because food doesn't make you sleep longer. Does it make you sleep longer?
No.
So, no, food doesn't make people sleep longer. As I've said, sleep is developmentally managed. It's about our brain. Mm-hmm. It's brain maturing, the baby's brain maturing. Oh. So it doesn't matter how much you give your baby to eat. That's not going to improve their sleep. Unless, of course, you know, the baby's starving, but not many babies are starving in Australia, really, in let's face it, we're well nourished, we have plenty to eat generally here. So that's not something that's going to help a baby sleep.
Right.
When a baby's ready for solids, we just give them their solids. Sometimes we're giving them too much milk. What often happens is that a baby can be feeding to sleep, and so they start to associate having a feed to go to sleep.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Yes. That's happened with us. I'll quit giving them a feed, then they'll sleep. But that's not right either, is it?
That's right. So whatever they're going to sleep with.
Yes.
So, for example, they're going to sleep with a feed. When they wake up between a sleep cycle, they need a feed to go back to sleep.
Okay.
So sleep occurs in cycles. You know, we all have sleep cycles where we have a dream sleep, go into a deep sleep, have a dream sleep. So babies have exactly the same, except we call it, you know, active sleep, which is kind of the dream sleep. Then a quiet sleep, which is our deep sleep or non-REM sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back into active sleep. So once they come up into a more transitional state or into like a drowsy state, and we do it too, we move up and then we might roll over in bed, and so we kind of come to a wakeful state. So, you know, where you roll over and you become a bit aware and you might look at the clock and you go, phew, it's only 1 o'clock in the morning, I can go back to sleep again. You go back to sleep. Well, babies do exactly the same thing. So some babies are able to settle themselves back to sleep. And so that's a wakeful stage. That's maybe one of those times, the 3 or 4 times a night when they wake up,
mm-hmm.
and they can settle themselves back to sleep.
That's perfect. Yeah, okay. That's what you
normal.
Want.
That's what normal. You want.
Okay.
However, if you've got a baby who's perhaps been fed to sleep, they may wake at one of those stages in the sleep cycle, but they don't know how to go back to sleep without a feed. So they wake up, call out and say, hey, I'm awake, come and feed me. I just, you know, don't know how to get back to sleep on my own. So they want a feed.
I see.
So they need a feed to go back to sleep. But it might not be a feed. It could be anything. It could be that they're used to being rocked to sleep. It could be that they're used to being carried around to sleep. It could be any number of things. And if you want to change that, then you have to start doing something else so that they can develop their own ways of going back to sleep on their own. And so that's what everybody at Tresillian is trying to manage, that their baby has begun a process where there's been some level where parents have become very involved in their baby's sleep cycles.
This is exactly, you are describing exactly what we've gone through the last 8 months.
Yes.
We've been so involved. We've been rocking them to sleep, more and more. And then when they get up, we rock them to sleep. And then we've got them in these little tiny sleeping bags where their arms can't get out, so they're nice mm-hmm. and snug. And so, yeah, we can't continue that.
Mm.
That has to stop. So we have to break the habit.
Yeah.
Which is why we're here.
Yeah. And that's why all the parents are here, is because you've just become a little bit too involved in their sleep cycles.
Gotcha.
So to help them with that and you with that, because both of you have got that habit, so it's going to be hard for both of you to break the habit.
Mm.
So for your girls, they don't want to break it. they're perfectly happy with you coming in and cuddling them and picking them up and rocking them and do all the nice things that you do. So they're going to say, no way, I'm not doing that. We like you coming in. That's fantastic. You know, we love seeing you, especially at 8 months, because at 8 months is when separation anxiety is at its peak. And at this point, if you look at where they are developmentally with regard to attachment to you guys and falling in love with you, you know, you're their favorite people. You know, they love it. They love it when you're around. They don't want you to go away. So they're going to protest enormously.
Cry.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what you have to do then is be able to reassure them and soothe them really calmly and really carefully and say, it's okay, we're still here, we know you're really disappointed about this thing that we've set up between us. We're going to help you get over it, we're going to soothe you and calm you and help you go to sleep all on your own, but we're not doing this anymore.
Right.
And so for you, this is about a process of being calm and soothing and kind and reassuring and being the secure, comforting parents while they have a meltdown about not doing the comfy, lovely, wonderful stuff that they really, really want you to do.
Yeah.
So this is one of those hard bits of parenting where you've gone, whoops, wrong, we did that, shouldn't have done it, but now we have to kind of figure it out between us again. And as a team, balance out their need for what they want and what you know you can't really keep doing for the rest of your lives.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, we can't keep swaddling them until they're 10. That's right. And, because that's what you're always taught when they're first born, isn't it? To keep them swaddled, to keep them really secure and safe.
Yeah.
But there comes a time when you can't do that anymore. And something as simple as having their arms out.
Yeah.
You know, we had them sleeping this morning with their arms out for the first time and since they're born, really.
Yeah.
Which is quite a shock for them and us, I suppose.
It is.
That's all part of it, isn't it?
It is all part of it. And so they need to get used to that. And then they might find that they like to eat their hands or something. We don't really know what they're going to do.
Mm.
And it might surprise you. They might be really, really happy about it and get all comfy with their hands. Or they might decide that they can crawl around the cot a bit and, you know, pull to stand and be, you know, this might be a riot for them. So we just have to wait and see what happens next. But whatever happens next, it's about reassuring them and comforting them that, you know, good times are done.
Yeah, but it's going to be okay. So just if you could tell me, how do we know? How do we know that we need to come and get help? How do we know that child isn't sleeping properly, if you know what I mean?
Well, developmentally, at 8 months, a baby is up to a point where they do have an ability to go to bed and go to sleep, self-settle themselves on their own.
Okay. So if they're not self-settling, if they're not, that's when you come and you get help, basically.
Yeah. So that's the age when we know they can. Mm. And at this age, we know that they have a capacity to go to sleep on their own, and then in the first part of the night especially, to wake up two or three times, but they can chain sleep cycles together for about 6 hours. So they can do a six-hour stretch and stay asleep for 6 to 7 hours on their own.
Oh, God, that would be wonderful.
And then from the early hours of the morning, they may wake to three times, but they do have the ability to put themselves back to sleep as well.
We haven't got to get up and rock them back to sleep.
You may have to get up one or two times, but it might just to be to, you know, shh, you're okay, go back to sleep.
Mm.
So what we do know is that they do have a capacity to do that.
Yeah.
So that's where you're sort of heading, but it may take some time to get that done.
Right.
Because, you know, you've got, you know, 8 months of your babies enjoying this wonderful, you know, intimate nighttime rocking and cuddling. So, you know, they're just used to that. That's the routine. That's what they're used to. And at the moment, they don't know how to self-settle. That's basically it. They just don't know how to do it.
Okay. I keep hearing about controlled crying. Mm-hmm. Is that still a thing?
For some people still recommend it, but we don't do that here. We, you know, controlled crying is basically not a sleep method. It's about just making a kid stop crying, you know, leaving them on their own until they stop crying. So it's really, that's a method called the extinguishing method. And really what it means is you're just extinguishing the crying.
Right.
The baby's crying. So crying is a child signal saying, I need help. And so when they're saying, I need help, you should help them. And so that's why we don't use that here. And because Tresillian works under the prevailing theory, which is attachment theory.
Mm.
And attachment theory says that crying is a signal that I need help. And that's a child's attachment system. So that's essentially what that means. So we attend to the child's signal for help.
Right. And is that like a primal thing? Is that the baby?
Yes.
It's crying, saying, don't leave me behind.
Yes, that's an evolutionary theory. It's about human beings have evolved to protect their young, and the way the young get protection is to call for help through crying. And that's our evolutionary method for survival.
Wow. Okay. And so what you do here and what other sleep clinics do is responsive settling, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's what we call it here at Tresillian.
And can you tell me what that is?
Well, what we do is that through each of the baby's ages, right from birth right through till three, that's the age groups that we serve, we have a different method that suits each age group. So for very young babies, we don't do much at all. So if parents come in with very little babies and they want help, we help parents understand what developmental stage their baby's at with regard to their sleep and settling needs. And so we help the parents be very responsive to their baby. And that will be to settle them very calmly and quietly, even in the parent's arms if the baby's very upset, because very little babies can settle themselves in their own bed, but it's very reliant also on the baby's temperament, if they've had some birth trauma, if the parent's very tired and anxious. So we look at what's going on for parents in a very holistic way before we determine what kind of sleep and settling strategies we would give. From about 3 months, then we also look at the baby's age and sleep development, and then we put in place other responsive settling strategies. So all of them are about what the baby's age is and sleep development, and then we suggest that whatever settling strategy we use, we always make sure that the parents are there, available to the baby, that the baby's we don't let the baby get really, really distressed, that the parent is advised to pick the baby up if the baby's getting too distressed, and that we stop any sleep and settling strategies, and the mum or the dad takes the baby for a walk in the pram, that it stops, basically.
Yep.
So we use patting as a first thing that we do. We might do some, you know, shh, shh. It's calm, it's rhythmic, it's repetitive, because, you know, repetition is boring and dull.
Mm-hmm.
It's soothing.
Yes.
So it's all very calming and repetitive and soothing, but the parent is present with the baby.
Brilliant.
So that they're reassured, they're not left alone, and the parent will gradually move away from the baby. But the baby's not left to cry.
Yeah, yeah. Not left to cry, and you're not leaving them cry for extended amounts of time, like we've heard about with controlled crying.
No.
Yeah, great. That's good. And so what does lack of sleep do to people? I mean, it's a terrible thing, isn't it? We need sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep deprivation is, it's torture.
It's torture.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's torture.
In dads especially. Because I know, and when I say in dads, because a lot of the time you know, we're going off to work the next day on an hour, 2-3 hours sleep. My wife will want me to say this, but of course the mums are working too at home, but at the same time we're sort of going out and trying to function in a workplace. It's hard, isn't it?
It is. It's really difficult. And this is one of the difficult things of parenting is that it's almost like it's a given that sleep deprivation is going to happen. And one of the most interesting things about infants is that in the month prior to the baby's birth, you can track a baby's sleep and awake cycles during the last month of pregnancy, and that's going to indicate what the baby's going to do after birth.
Really?
So you can get ready.
Okay.
Next time.
Okay.
So because a baby's is just going to keep you awake at certain times of the day and the night, it's really unfortunate that parents do experience sleep deprivation after the birth of a baby. So one of the things that we need to think about is about thinking about it as a team effort,
mm-hmm.
and how you can get together to think about it as a team and how you can work together as a team.
Yeah.
And if one partner is going to work, how does that work together?
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, though, there's a lot of research about sleep and settling and about how father's involvement in getting a baby to settle has better outcomes for the family when a father's more involved in it. And there's less postnatal depression for everybody mm-hmm. involved, because what we know about postnatal depression is that if the mother's depressed, then there's a highly... there's a greater likelihood of a father getting depressed as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because it does exist in dads. We know that, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
PND.
We know that the statistics for PND for dads is about 10%,
right.
but probably it's underestimated because men present symptoms differently.
Yeah.
And the scales that we use to screen dads aren't as effective as what we use to screen women, because because men present differently, and a lot of the research talks about men's presentation is often they do stuff like play a lot of sport and they
drink
and they do gambling and stuff like that.
And so much of that PND stems from lack of sleep.
It can do, and it's lots of work. And one of the things that men do is overwork.
Yeah.
Spend too much time at work.
Provide.
And have this pressure on them about being the provider.
Yeah.
That those traditional thoughts about, you know, being a man.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to do that side of that as well.
Yes.
So men go through a transition to fatherhood as well as women do. So there's a psychological thing going on as well as what, you know, we talk a lot about women's psychological transition to motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Men have a similar psychological transition to fatherhood as well.
Definitely.
So there is that whole provider thing going on.
Yeah.
Which
is hard on not much sleep.
It is. It's really hard.
Yeah.
So that's that teamwork thing that can happen. And I guess it's really important to figure out between the partners how that's going to work out.
Yes.
It's a really hard one.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Right, and so what are some of the common mistakes from dads?
I don't know that there's mistakes per se. One of the things, the most common things, is dads often feel sidelined.
Mm.
And feeling sidelined is because often they lack information, and so they're a bit confused about what their roles are meant to be. I think that's one of the common issues that confront dads. You know, the roles are changing so much, so there's that whole notion of being a provider, but also I'm meant to be, you know, doing lots of caretaking roles.
Yeah, hands-on, changing
and
nappies.
And being hands-on.
Compared to 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, but the problem with that is too, is that there's no role model for what men are meant to be doing now too. So there's a lack of information, there's a bit of a confusion about what I'm meant to do. Am I meant to be like the mum, or am I meant to be like a dad? And who on earth am I meant to be?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why men often feel like they're making mistakes, because who am I meant to be? But you're meant to be a dad.
Mm.
And so a good way to watch is to, if you want to do more caretaking, is to just watch what women do, because, you know, women psychologically, women prepare for motherhood throughout their lives.
Yeah.
That's what has happened. And so even though they may not have handled many babies, they're psychologically and unconsciously watched other women babies.
Mm-hmm.
Because we seem to forget, in evolutionary terms, these are things that are hardwired into us. So women have unconsciously watched other women handle babies.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And so you watch your wife handle a baby. You watch. You do stuff like that.
Mm.
And then once you've watched other people handle babies, then you get the hang of it. And you ask. You say, you know, what do I do? Can I do the nappy? Can I watch you change the nappy? And then I'll change the nappy. With regard to if your wife or your partner's breastfeeding, you know, you can't breastfeed yourself, but You can get pillows. You know, can I get you a pillow? Sometimes, you know, you know it's really uncomfortable, and you know,
yeah.
So you say, can I get you a pillow for your arm, or rest your back, or do that, whatever. You know, do you want to put your feet up, or you know, do you want to, you know, is thirsty work breastfeeding? So grab a glass of water,
yeah,
or all
water,
of that stuff.
The water is so important, yeah. And yeah. It's lucky with us. I mean, we said this in an earlier episode, but go to the classes.
Yeah.
Go
to the classes.
It's very, very important. You need as much information as you can get inside your head. And also with us, we had our girls at 33 weeks, so they're quite early. So we had that time in the NICU, neonatal intensive care unit, to watch the nurses, and they taught me what to do.
Exactly.
Which was invaluable.
So that's the sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Is that you might not be able to breastfeed, but the support that you can do in those little other things, it's just so, you can't even say how invaluable it is by just a drink of water or a cup of coffee or tea or a cookie or something. And you just mentioned it. Seeking out information is just so pivotal, like from a child and family health nurse or the midwives or whoever. The other thing is really important is seeking out what you're doing now is information from other dads. And I think that's one thing that men really miss out on.
Yeah.
Because mothers have mothers groups, but if men are going to do more of this caretaking thing or caregiving role, then men need more support from other men.
Jake and I are nodding.
Absolutely. You need to be able to talk to other men who are fathering, because that's what you need. It's absolutely so important.
Yeah.
And hear their stories.
Oh, totally. And me and a couple of mates caught up the other night, and I think the biggest one was sleep.
Yeah.
And how much we miss our sleep. And I guess, should we take the lead too with things like sleep? Yeah. How do we do that?
I guess you have to take it in turns.
Yeah.
You have to, this is a hard thing about your relationship with your wife or your partner changes, and it's not the same anymore.
Yeah.
And it won't be.
Yeah.
So it's about saying, I need a sleep. Let's take turns.
Yes, that's what we've been doing that actually.
And it's just how it goes now.
Yeah, yeah. You know? In the mornings or, you know, I just need an hour.
Yeah.
Cool. You take them for a walk. And it's working okay, you know. But you're right. It's a team effort.
It's a team effort.
Especially with twins, with two, because, you know, if you get them out of sync, all hell breaks loose.
It is.
Yeah.
So it is. But the other thing that you remind yourselves, it's not forever.
Yes.
It's only a little, it's only a short time.
Mm.
So it is about taking turns. And even to the point is, I'll have this half of the night and you have that half of the night.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we both get a break.
Mm. Yeah, a break. A break is so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you go mad otherwise.
And it's not forever.
Yeah.
But you're having turns.
Yeah.
Of sleep.
Yeah.
But
and if you've got a spare room too.
Yep.
Use that.
Yep.
For dads too, you know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us, yeah, have to do that, go to that workplace the next morning.
I know.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
And for some people do better without sleep and other people don't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's a team effort. It's about negotiating between you how you're going to do this. And that's what's really important for the relationship.
Definitely. And I guess to finish, to bring it back to my experience here, I suppose, what can I expect the next 4 days?
You can expect to be working with your babies and getting them used to not having their arms wrapped up, getting them to sleep without rocking and cuddling and seeing how they manage that. But also importantly, see how you manage that.
Yeah.
Because you'll desperately want to do what you're used to be doing. It's your habit too.
That's right. And we love it. You know, they're looking into your eyes and you're rocking them, and it's a beautiful moment that you share. But it can't go on because
and you want your sleep.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's the struggle you're going to be having is I don't want them to be sad and I don't want them to be upset, and I do love lots of this, but we all need to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be struggling with the so many things going on inside of you, you know, such a struggle to try and change something that is a habit, and you don't want your babies to be upset. So that's why the nurses are there to help you out and to help you figure out how you want to do it.
Mm. No, it's been great so far. I know I've only been here half a day, but it's been wonderful. And it's been wonderful talking to you, Fran. It really has. You're just so much information. You've been doing it a long time now because you're a midwife originally, right?
I was a paediatric nurse first.
Paediatric nurse
then
first.
A midwife, and then a child and family health nurse.
You've done it all, and you continue to do such great work. So you've got the Tresillian Sleep book.
Yes.
And I know you're working on another book. Can you tell us about it?
It's a book called Burst of 3 Months.
Okay.
Or it actually hasn't got a name yet. I don't know what its name is.
Okay, you've got something you can work on.
Whatever it is.
Sleep on it. thank you so much. I think we're going to learn a lot from this. I've learned so much from this.
Oh,
and
thank you.
And I think a lot of dads will learn a lot from it too. So
great.
We really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks, Fran.
Thank you.
Fran Chavas, God, they are lucky to have her. Her expertise, her knowledge, her experience, just amazing stuff. And over the last 8 months, I've sort of heard so many opinions, and Bonnie more so than me. I should put my hand up here and say Bonnie does a lot of the research here. She's read so much on this subject, and I have too, just not as much. And I think that time with Fran gave me such perspective, and hopefully it has given you some too, because I know I say it all the time, and I think, though, it does bear saying again, and that is, you are not alone. We're in this together. We're in the trenches. We're in the sleep trenches together. And all over the world, parents, dads are trying to figure out how to get their child to sleep and keep them asleep for, you know, longer than an hour or two. It does get better. I know people tell you that all the time. People tell me that all the time. I'm like, don't you dare say that. It does get better. Does it get better? I don't know. A damn well better. I'm told it does. So I'll just believe them. It does get better. But there is help, and really solid evidence-based help that you can find to get you back on track and functioning normally again, if that day will ever come. So there are many other places, not just Tresillian, to get expert advice on settling your child. We chose Tresillian based on recommendations, of course, and a lot of books and a lot of advice from people, and, you know, especially twin parents that we know got a lot out of Tresillian, because, you know, of course, twins come with challenges, you know, waking each other up, etc., etc. So Tresillian was fantastic, or is fantastic for us. And let me say also that here in Australia, we are blessed with a healthcare system that allows us to get specialist treatment like this without charge. Yep, Tresillian is free. Medicare pays for it. Unless you bring an extra person like me, you are charged each night about $48. I should put that in there. You know, the if it's the father or the partner. But go, get there. It's very, very important that you're there and that you learn from these people and you know what your child needs, and you learn, and you're there also with mum and helping her out, because it's a big transition getting your child to learn these new methods, these new techniques. It's all in the show notes. We have put all the info from Fran in there as well, and also some links to resources available to help you find help wherever you are. Hopefully over the next 4 days, Bonnie and I will learn new skills and methods to help our girls to self-soothe, and we'll learn to do the responsive, what's it called? Listen to me, God. Responsive settling. The responsive settling, and so far it's going really well. Really well, actually. We're learning that you can't rock your child to sleep anymore. It's just not viable. So we're learning ways of putting them back in the cot, patting them, and letting them settle themselves, because that is the goal, folks, so we can all get ourselves a good night's sleep. We started the podcast here at Tresillian, and I think it's only fair that we ended here too. It's day two, halfway through day two. It's going well, I've got to say. We had the girls to sleep last night about 7:30. They went through till 12:30. Had a feed, slept through till 6:37. What? Unheard of. Very, very happy. So it's going well. It's going well, I got to say. And they're really nice here. They're just lovely people. Hey, thanks for listening. Please give us a review. 5 stars would be nice, but if not, all good. And please share. Share us to other dads. Share us to mums as well, whoever else. Let's really get the message out there. I think a quote that applies to sleep would be good to end with here, and a quote from Ryan Reynolds. We all know who he is. And he said, "These days, I think of blinking as taking tiny little naps all day." Hopefully that's not me after our visit here to Tresillian. Thanks so much for listening to Being Dad, and I'll talk to you very, very soon. This was a 7 West podcast. The producer is Jake Taylor. Nikki Hamilton is our executive producer.
Hold up. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.